Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Thank you, ministry team, this morning for your ministry before the Lord. And I want to thank all those that came out yesterday and braved the cool air, the brisk, refreshing air, and so that we were able to work in the ditch outside and not feel like it was too hot. And so, and sawdust would just blow away. And so I just want to thank everybody that came and helped us working on rebar and cutting rebar and getting it ready. We're getting ready for a concrete pour. It's not real glamorous. It's a landscape thing to keep water from out coming into the building. You know, so we're really upset when it comes in, aren't we, Missionettes and Girls Ministries and me in the office and other places? And we seem to miss it when it's gone. And don't account for that. And I'm just so grateful we can have a lot of fun together yesterday. Worked from 8 until noon. And we have some more yet to do. I'll probably be working a bit on that this week. We're kind of targeting, hopefully, that next Saturday after the Easter egg deal, that we might be ready for a concrete pour. And we'll have that ready. And so I know some of you are saying, oh, so glamorous, concrete pour. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that came out and gave of their time. We even had Crystal Rollins over there cutting rebar. So she said, I grew up a dad and a father working in construction. I like to do this kind of stuff. So I said, okay. And we worked her. And we worked everybody yesterday. And we're so thankful for you. Something I want to do by way of announcement is let you know that starting next week, the first Sunday in April, I'll just say the first Sunday in April, we are going to kick off again our Vision Kids Church. We have a team of 5 or 6 teams of volunteers are going to be rotating. If you would still like to be a part of that, it's not too late. We can get into the training, put you with somebody. You can learn what's going on. The curriculum is all laid out, put together, and we have an iPad, and it's real easy to go through. And then you can have somebody that's on your team helping you with managing the kids in that time. And what we're going to do is come right to this time in the service of offering, and then the children are going to be released to go to kids' church, which gives you about 45 minutes or so is all the time that you would have with them until mom and dad come to pick them up. Want to let you know, parents, that you do have kids that are eligible for kids' church, that the procedure will be to come into the foyer and sign them up that morning in the foyer before you come in here to service, and then they'll have a sticker on their back or something that will identify them as yours. And then when we say it's time for everybody to go to kids' church, you'll be able to then go and go over into a locked building where you'll be safe and secure, and it will be filled with energy and great music and a great time. And I want to say thank you to all of you who have signed up to do that, and those of you who are going to. And we want to have quality ministry, quality and safe ministry for our Vision Kids. We're coming, then we're going to have on Easter Sunday, right after Kids Church, we're going to lay the eggs out here in the grass. Or if it was inclement weather, we'll just throw them on the floor in the multipurpose building. And we'll turn the kids loose into their various areas. And they'll be able to go home with a bag full of wonderful, nutritious candy. And possibly win some prizes because they happen to find the ticket. And so that's what's just on the horizon. Be praying with us. We're praying that people, and I just looking across the congregation, we have several people visiting with us this morning. Vision Church, let these know that have come out on a Sunday morning to be with us. We appreciate you coming. And we appreciate you. Some of you have come by invitation, and others of you drove by or whatever has brought you here. You're here. And I just want to say thank you for coming. I also want to recognize two that have come all the way from the other side of Dallas today. Somebody who was in our wedding over 32 years ago. Ron Edwards is here this morning with his wife, Erica. Would you let them know you're glad they're here? Over on the southeast side of Dallas. What, Segoville? Segoville, yeah. When I drive through there occasionally, I go, hey, they live close by here somewhere. I can feel the essence of the Edwards as we drive through. Now, y'all pray for Ron because I've known him since college, but you know what? He's never heard me preach. And I said, I think I'll take today off, so you'll have to come back next week. So we want to move on into one other thing before we get into the message this morning. And I'm watching my time here. Tonight is going to be an excellent service, a very special service. I want to encourage everybody in this room, plus more to come, to 1200 Roberts Cutoff, our old address. We're going to go back to our old facility. And for some of you that may feel a twinge of pain, of separation and other things, I'm just going to ask that the Lord would just salve you with the balm of Gilead and help you to get, I can understand very much that sense of that loss and that separation. But go there and One Faith Church, also known as Iglesia Una Fe, and their pastor, Andy Salazar, I spoke with him. We want to bring some of our Assembly of God churches together and churches that aren't Assemblies of God and just have a powerful night. We're bringing in our evangelism director for the district, a powerful preacher, and somebody who follows signs and wonders, follow his ministry. He's right now in the middle of making a documentary documenting miracles that are attested to by doctors. Oh, things like somebody who was born without an eardrum now being able to hear out of their ear. Or somebody who was unable to see and now can see. Just miracles that have happened simply because people have responded to the Word of God and faith has risen in their heart and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has touched them and instantly changed situations and circumstances in their life. And I've got great news for you. God is no respecter of persons. Whosoever will may come. And so I'm just going to ask you to just kind of raise the faith level in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to raise that faith level in your heart and help you. And come to 1200 Roberts Cutoff tonight. Be there at 6 p.m. at the latest, really. And we'll come. We'll sit together there and sit together as a congregation and see what's happened in the building and see the ministry that's going forth in One Faith Church. They're going to be providing praise and worship. And I believe we're also going to have translation for those that do not understand English very well. And so it's going to be kind of a feeling of a crusade, kind of a feeling of touching across the family and across the culture. And we're just looking for this to be a way of opening our hearts to everything that the Lord is doing and embracing them, supporting them, and several other Assemblies of God churches. We're looking to do something in the future. You're getting a little bit of inside baseball here this morning. As I serve as a presbyter of this area of churches, something that the Lord put in my heart is that we would do something in the Northwest Fort Worth section, which is Northern Tarrant County, by spring 2020. It may be later in the year, but that's kind of our target. How many of you know if you don't set a target, you don't work towards something? And so we've set this target that we would actually have some kind of meeting, open-air meeting in a neutral place, kind of like a stadium or something like that, where we could invite the entire area to come, that if they're sick, that if they need a touch from God in their life and they needed a miracle, that they would come out for one or two nights to this meeting, and it would be on neutral ground in a stadium. Many churches have already, there are several churches that have talked to me about they're interested in doing that and being a part of that, and there are not even Assemblies of God churches, but they're in the area. And how many have just agree and believe that God could just do a powerful thing in Northern Tarrant County and really change the atmosphere of our county and really involve himself in some people's lives if we would just show him off a little, right? Just come together and pray, seek his face, fast, and look towards heaven that we might just have a powerful move of the Holy Spirit that could change the atmosphere and the characteristics of Northern Tarrant County, can turn some homes around, bring some light into the darkness, and break yokes off of people's lives. And so we're starting to put this together once a quarter when there's a fifth Sunday. Just kind of bank on it. If there's a fifth Sunday that night, we're going to be getting together somewhere in Northern Tarrant County with some other churches and start moving towards this. We'll have speakers come in who are used by the Lord mightily in the area of revival, in the area of gifts, and the movement of the power of the Spirit. And we just need to have a divine conspiracy. You've heard me say that before. We just need to have a divine conspiracy of some people who will fast and pray and seek God's face and see just an outbreak in northern Tarrant County of the power of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to encourage you, come tonight and let this be an incentive to you and push us as a whole church. If that's not enough, on Palm Sunday, we're going to have Dale Everett back after just over a year. And we're looking for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to be a powerful time with the ministry of Dale Everett. So if you never heard of him, I want to encourage you to come. And he has a very unique ministry. And for those of us that are concerned about somebody might be too pushy or histrionics or other things, no, he tells you what the Lord's going to do. We preach, we have a message, and at the end of it, we have testimonies of the things that God has done. We had knees touched, backs touched. We had somebody that could take out their hearing aid after, as a result of the moving of the Holy Spirit and the demonstration of His grace. So just get ready for that, and look to your neighbor, touch him, and say, hey, get ready. The Lord is wanting to do a powerful thing in our midst if we will just agree, if we'll say yes. Now, let's turn in our scriptures to the book of James. I'm just going to clue you ahead of time to go to James chapter 3, starting in verse number 13. And as I do, I want to kind of catch us up to speed this morning. We learned, as we talked about a lesson from darkness, about humility. We're talking about the light. Some of you are kind of uninitiated to this. And I look down here, and it looks to me like somebody turned off one of my lights. Somebody actually, what happened was, it's on the four-hour timer. That's what happened. Which tells you it was turned on more than 4 hours ago. And so we have these three lights lit. The first one, the middle one, is the love of God. Aren't you grateful for the love of God? Wow. It all hinges around and swirls around and moves around the fact this radical idea that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That the Jesus came to show us the Father. And the heart of the Father is that He loves us truly, madly, and deeply. He loves us passionately. And He was willing to die for us when we were still ungodly. Amazing love. Amazing love. Then we move towards this idea of the humility of God. Everybody say humility. We learned a couple weeks ago that Jesus is the light of the world, and He blazes with humility. He has come. This is what He said. I have come to serve. Not to be served, but to serve and give myself as a ransom for many. Humility puts us in the right posture, in the right place, to handle the provision of heaven. Humility is the prerequisite mentality, that attitude. The book of Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't see godness as something to be grasped after, but instead emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus, the highest one, became the least of all. Wow. Last week, as we talked about off to a good start, we found that wisdom, that's the third flame here as we move this side, wisdom puts us in the right frame of mind to walk in the culture of heaven and handle God's resources. Wisdom. It puts us in the right mind, the right frame of mind to walk in the culture of heaven. As we move through these flames, we're talking about the sevenfold flame of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And if we're not careful in the church, we pick and choose our favorite colors and our favorite flavors. We have churches that are the flavor of the week. We have churches that are focused upon fads. But here's what I would ask them to do. I would ask them to diversify. I would ask them to not become narrowed upon a flavor and a kind, but that they would broaden out and they would say, Jesus, be who you are in our midst, and Holy Spirit, be all who you are in our midst. We want the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So wisdom puts us in that right mind. Now we find the book of James chapter 3, and I already made this point with you last week, but I want to reiterate this. The book of James is like the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. When you find the book of James and you read through it, and how many of you know it's shorter than the book of Proverbs? We've heard about the Proverbs 31 woman. Why? Because that's the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. And in fact, for many years in my life, I would read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And so that meant in the course of a month, I would at least read 28 in February, 29 on a leap year in February, 30 or 31 on the other months, and I would process through that book of Proverbs. So I just want to encourage you, if you wanted to get into a regular reading program, just read one chapter of Proverbs a day and do that every month. I believe you'll start catching on to something. I believe something will start happening in your life. We find in the book of James, which is significantly less chapters, how about six chapters in the book of James? And he says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such, quote, wisdom, unquote, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Now, the light in the room just kind of diminished a little bit. Some faces kind of went, oh, he's talking about demonic evil. So, wait. Here's another word here. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I'm glad that James went on and finished that thought, aren't you? And so, by way of introduction, let me just say, as we talked last week, we talked about various definitions of wisdom, and I Googled it because it was just easy, cut and paste, throw it up here on the screen. Wisdom, and I've modified the third definition that I actually like to use as we discuss this idea of wisdom. It's the body of knowledge and principles that develops within a specified society or period. Another way to put that is the way things are done in God's culture. Or the way things are done in God's house. Or the way things are done in heaven. Or the way things are done in the kingdom of God. Or the way things should be done in the church. The way things Jesus prayed would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's some synonyms for you. The knowledge of the Lord. Learning God's ways. Study to show yourself approved. A love of what is true, or in short, the wisdom of God. So, wisdom. The question is from below to above. Let's move from below to above. That's what James does, is he's actually laying out for us wisdom from below to above. First of all, wisdom does not come down from heaven versus does come from heaven. That's our choice. Those are the choices that are laid before us. How many have ever had to have the no choice choice? We're given an option and we say something in between. We have multiple choice and we see the answer say, I don't like any of them. And we want to have another choice. Very often we have just two choices. We see laid before the people of Israel. Choose this day whom you will serve. If God be God, follow him. If not, don't follow him, but make a decision. The Bible tells us there's many in that valley of decision because it's difficult to make a choice. It's challenging to make a choice because we know that we're holding to one thing and we're taking on the other. We're letting something go and we're taking something on. And every one of us, whether we want to admit it or not, have this secret little desire to have our cake and eat it too. And it not put any pounds on. Right? Amen. We want to have the best of both worlds. We want to be able to take this and that, but very often we have to make a choice between one thing and the other. Why? Because that's all we can very often handle. We can't handle multiple choices, but because we have to be developed into wisdom in order to do that. And so what I want us to understand this morning, first of all, is wisdom from below is a song with only two notes. How many of you have ever heard two-note songs? Very often, kids like to play two-note songs. People can drive you crazy with a little two-note song. You can write a little ditty for a commercial that everybody knows. Ch-ch-ch-chia. Two notes. Right? Wow. A song of two notes. What's worse than that? A song of one note. That's called monotone. A song of two notes. And here's the two notes that this song consists of. The note number one is bitter envy. See, the wisdom from below has only two notes to choose from, and one of the notes is bitter envy. How does bitter envy sound? How can he have that and I don't have that? Why did that happen in her life and not my life? Why is it I get the short end of the stick? Why is it that that has happened? And very often it's accompanied by bitterness. This very same James would say, beware lest a evil root of bitterness take root and thereby defile many. Bitterness gets down into the spirit, into the soul of a person, and begins to turn them from sweet to bitter. It begins to tank things and make it sour. This is a very sour note. This is something that's like in between a flat and a natural. It's somewhere in between. It's one of those notes that's when it's struck, you go, ooh, ouch. It's like fingernails across a chalkboard. Bitter envy. It's saying, why can't I have that? In fact, I would like for that person to lose that thing that they have. I would like that thing that they have would break, that it would fall apart, and then I can say, ha ha. All right. Nanner, nanner, nanner. I told you so. Bitter envy. The other note of this song is called selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. It says this, I must get ahead. I am number one. Can you hear pride in there? Isn't that the opposite of humility? So by the time we get over here to wisdom, we find some opposites of humility. We find some pride working here. Bitter envy and selfish ambition. Both of these things appeal to the self-centered person. And by the way, all of us were born self-centered. And we are still, by the grace of God, being worked on to become selfless. But we need help. We need so much help that Jesus went to a cross and died for us to open up the resources of God's heaven so we would have some hope and some answer against this dismal two-note song. This very bitter song, bitter envy, selfish ambition, bitter envy, selfish ambition. I'm telling you, you can run a top 500 company with this. You can run an advertising agency on Madison Avenue with just these two notes. Strike this note of bitter envy and selfish ambition, you can sell advertising. You can sell cars, you can sell insurance. That's not to say that buying a car is evil, insurance is evil, but catering to the worst part of a person, there's something wrong and intrinsically wrong about that. Appealing to the lowest common denominator, and what is that? It's this two-note song, bitter envy, selfish ambition. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, and it plays out and it plays out and plays out. And if you'll watch carefully, read carefully, and listen carefully, you'll pick it up and you'll go, wow, that's appealing to me on a level of indulging me in bitter envy or calling me to get ahead with selfish ambition. Now, I have some great news for you. God wants you to get ahead. Amen. He wants you to advance, and he has plans to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. But it can't be done by the hand of man, and it can't be accomplished out of the Spirit, and it certainly can't be walked out according to this song. So I'll go on and say this further about wisdom from below. Number two, it has three characteristics. The three characteristics are earthly, first of all. So what does that mean? It's from the earth, it makes sense on the earth, and can offer some sort of success in terms only of the earth. So it's earthly. It doesn't come from above. It comes from below or from the earth. It is something that's happening on the earth. It's something you can find on the earth. It is a raw material on the earth. It's a commodity. In fact, it's abundant upon the earth. It's abundant in the hearts of those upon the earth. Everywhere you look, you can run across this wisdom from below. It is earthly. Everybody say earthly. You got it. I can go on to the next point. Don't you feel relieved? Unspiritual. It's unspiritual. What's the opposite of that? Spiritual. It's unspiritual. It doesn't require the highest nature of a person. It only requires the lowest nature of a person. It is base. It is having to do with carnality. In fact, very often you'll hear the Apostle Paul use a synonym to this. He'll say they're carnal and unspiritual. What's he saying? That they are living by their body and living by their soul and what they're hearing on the earth. They're not marching to a beat of a different drum. They're not hearing a different song. They're not hearing from heaven. They are unspiritual. Guess where everybody starts out? Earthly and unspiritual. Babies are earthly and unspiritual. Wow. Wow. Here I am insulting the babies. Right? Sweet little snookums. Earthly, unspiritual. That's how we start out. We start out as the descendants of Adam and Eve, and we start out of the earth, earthly, unspiritual. And if that's not enough, how about this one? This wisdom is demonic. This is the kind of wisdom, thinking patterns, and ideas that demons live with, that unclean spirits live by. This is the kind of principles that is in the heart of fallen angels. This is the kind of stuff that happens in unclean spirits. This is the kind of stuff. And you know, it was enough to say earthly and unspiritual, James, but did you have to really go and have the trifecta intensified to that point? His answer is yes. This is what happens in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness operates according to demonic logic. That's how it operates. That's how unclean spirits operate. That's how Lucifer, the fallen one, operates. That's how the great dragon operates. That's how the Antichrist will operate. That's how the kingdom of this world operates. It operates according to earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. And it's a wisdom which comes from below. So it's easily acquired, easily bought into, and easily dispensed. Now, how many of you are just encouraged now? Oh, wait, there's more. I wanted you to feel the depth of that. And James wants us to feel the depths of that. That's depravity. That's darkness. That is, everybody just say, yuck. That's nasty. That's horrible. Surely it can be better than that. I have great news for you today. Yes, it can be. God has made a provision for it to be better than that. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So now we have wisdom from where? Above. We have a choice now. Wisdom from below or wisdom from above. It's a choice. So how about these characteristics? First of all, it's pure. Now, one thing I appreciate about this word pure is that at its root, the first three letters, P-U-R, actually is a Persian word, I believe is its root, and it speaks of the word fire. Fire. This is the kind of purification that's necessary in metallurgy. This is the kind of purification that's needed in order for a jeweler to say, you've got pure gold. And here's what he's really saying. It's 99.44% pure. Because we don't have enough fire or heat on the earth or any crucibles which can hold up that will allow us to heat that gold any hotter and purify it any more. This is as pure as it can get. But how many of you know God goes one better? He says the gold of heaven is 100% pure. The gold of my presence is 100% pure. It will stand up under the fire. No matter how hot it gets here upon the earth, it will not fall apart. It will not blow up. It will go through the fire. Is it any wonder that three Hebrew guys could stand in the midst of a fire and have their cords broken off of their wrist and everything melted off of them and walk around in the midst of the fire because one like the Son of God was with them? And he said, look, I'm 100% pure. I can stand up to 99 and 44 one-hundredths percent. Give him a hand clap this morning. He is pure. God is absolutely without taint. He can stand up to anything. Jesus can stand up to anything. And the Holy Spirit himself is typified as fire. But he is the fire of heaven. Purity. And so we catch, first of all, this idea of purity. He comes down from him and it is pure. Everybody say pure. Next, peace-loving. Peace-loving. What does it mean to love peace? That means you love peace. You prefer peace over a struggle. You prefer peace over the opposite of that, which is the battling of the wills. We can look to the Middle East today, and we know as we look at Hamas and Gaza, we look at the Golan Heights, as we look at Syria, as we look at ISIS, as we look at all these things, it has been nothing but hundreds, thousands of years of conflict. Is it any wonder that it's going to require the Prince of Peace to step into the middle of that? There is only one who can arbitrate that dispute. There's only one, and what's his name? His name is Jesus. He is the peace speaker. He is the peacemaker. So it stands to reason, if we have relationship with Jesus and we love God, that we are peace-loving people. That doesn't mean that we don't take stands. That doesn't mean that we don't take defense of situations, that we don't defend the innocent, that we don't stand up for things. I'm not talking about pacifists. I'm talking about people who love peace. They love peace so much that they recognize it and they want other people to have it. They're introducing, when we're praying for people who are lost, what's at the root of that? We want them to experience the same peace that we have begun to experience in Jesus. We're convinced that Jesus can come and take the vilest sinner, make them clean, take the worst situation, and turn it into peace. Amen? We believe that? How about this one? Considerate. Considerate. Have you ever thought about why we have to teach our children to be considerate? Because they're of the earth and earthly. Because they're natural. They have to acquire this higher way of relating to people. Otherwise, they'll go to the base nature of replying. And so it takes input. It takes energy. And so we have this idea of consideration. It's the idea of taking into account other people in the decisions that we make. It's taking others into account when we decide it's not just about me. It's about others. How will this affect others? That's why Paul says, let each one look to the other's good for their edification. This is the wisdom of heaven. This is the way heaven operates. Do you know that God is even considerate about you? Do you know that God considers your thoughts and your feelings? And he custom tailors his work and activity in your life so as to maximize peace and growth in him without crushing you and knocking you over. Think about that. The God who can speak a word and form a son 100 times greater than our son speaks to you and says, may I do this in your life? And he's looking for us to say yes to his amen. He's just looking for agreement. He doesn't make us do anything, but aren't you glad he invites us? What a picture of consideration. Wisdom operates that way. How about this one? Submissive. Jesus said, I've come to serve. We become submissive. He said, let each one submit to the other for the mutual edification within the body. Wisdom asks that question, how may I serve? How may I come alongside and help? How may I take the not lead role in order to get this done? How about this one? Full of mercy and good fruit. Aren't you glad God's merciful? He is so rich in mercy. And so it comes with this wisdom of God. This is a way you can tell it's wisdom from God. that it's full of mercy and good fruit. Submissive means it's not demanding. Full of mercy and good fruit means it comes on the scene, cloaked in compassion and mercy, but it brings forth a wonderful harvest. That once it's embraced, once it's walked out, you find what? Good fruit. Now, how many of you ever got not so good fruit? Have you ever seen that beautiful apple and then bit into it and found a friend? Have you ever looked at a bright, shiny apple and went to cut it open, expecting, in fact, it was labeled as a Honeycrisp, but it's mealy. No fun, because we're let down, because it's not actually what is promised. The enemy is constantly packaging things to people in this earth. Packaging is so important. Listen, marketers know this. A product, no matter how good it is, lives or dies on packaging. If it is packaged dumb, if it looks ugly, people won't buy it. But there's nothing more disappointing than seeing that wrapping that promises this is going to be some of the best chocolate I've ever put in my mouth. This is going to be the most wonderful candy bar. This is going to be the most cereal. It's really going to compete with that other name brand that I like. Then we pour it in our bowl, throw some milk on it, and go, what in the world is this? Did they have an overrun of mule food? What's going on? But here's what we know about God. When He does something, it's full of mercy and good fruit. Everybody say good fruit. How about this one? Impartial. Do you know that God is no respecter of persons? He is no respecter of persons. He puts it on the top shelf for everybody. It doesn't matter their gender. Doesn't matter their age. Doesn't matter their societal position. Doesn't matter what language of origin they speak. Doesn't matter how educated they are. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He is no respecter of persons. And so His wisdom and His way of doing things is to come with impartiality and say to you, how about it? Well, but Lord, I'm not qualified. But Lord, I'm not educated enough. Lord, I'm not called to that. Lord, I don't know about this. His answer is never, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. His answer is, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your age. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter. I'm coming with wisdom and I am impartial. I just offer it to everybody, full and free. And then finally, it is sincere. How many of you have had that feeling you were getting a sales pitch? How many of you have ever experienced insincerity in your life? Huh? Somebody who just tries to sell you on the idea that they really are concerned about your well-being. No, they're concerned about this next transaction, then they're going to move on. They are not really deeply caring about you. And when we see insincerity, it's revolting. But listen to this attribute of wisdom. It is sincere. It really has your best interests at mind. And it's deep settled within the heart that everything within it says, I am for you, I am with you, I get you, I receive you, I understand you, and I have something that is going to transform and change your life. And I am so sincere about this that I was willing to bankrupt heaven and put it all on the line. And I was willing to take my son, place him upon a cross, and make full payment for all of this because I'm convinced it really will change your life. Give the Lord a hand clap. Point number four before I close, and Will, you can with hope in your heart and a spring in your step come up to the piano. He is here, isn't he? No, he's not here. Okay, never mind, Will. Will has left the building. He has a good excuse, and I don't want to throw him under the bus about that. I just didn't notice, and I'm sorry. Wisdom from above. If you'll get ready for some quiet piano background music, that would be great, Brother Greg. And over here on the, I'm giving a little technical direction now, if you'll excuse me just for a moment, is you have you can open up Safari and it'll default to a piano piece, peaceful songs. That'll be great. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Especially because it says this, peacemakers. Peacemakers. See, people who engage in the wisdom of God, we have below, this is chaos makers. This is troubling here on the earth. This is problems. It's got a terrible two-note song that it plays. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, bitter envy, selfish ambition. It comes at us from the level of being earthly and of the earth and unspiritual and demonic. But listen to how refreshing this is. Peacemakers. They sow in peace. They sow in peace. They're not trying to force their will on somebody. They're trying to introduce them to a person who's going to change their life. And as a result, they raise a harvest of righteousness. Wow. I love that power, don't you? That you can drop in a seed and get a harvest of righteousness. You can drop in something which seems so insignificant and doesn't seem to be able to stand on its own very well. But you just take that tiny little seed, and in hope and in faith, in obedience, in reply to God, and in a sincere desire to share this peace of God which transcends all understanding, which guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, you then take this seed of wisdom and you begin to place it in the soil. Seems so insignificant and so small, but what happens? It raises a harvest of righteousness. That's the power of wisdom. The wisdom is sown into a situation, sown into a marriage, sown into a circumstance, sown into a job opportunity, sown in the way that we do our job, sown into every circumstance and situation. And we come to God and say, I sure need that wisdom. I need that, and I want to sow that in here. What happens? It will gain you the reputation of being a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. That's what he said. He calls them out separately in his Sermon on the Mount, and he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a happy, fortunate, enviable, wonderful position to be in, to be a peacemaker. Sowing in peace and raising a harvest of righteousness. So we have a choice to make. We have a wisdom from below. This wisdom is picked up naturally. How many of you ever just picked something up? You meet somebody who plays the guitar, say, where'd you learn that? Oh, I just picked it up. Well, what do you mean by that? Really what they mean is, I picked up that guitar, yes, physically. I sat around with some other people. I had somebody say, try this, hold your fingers this way, do that. And then they play beautifully. And you meet them and you say, wow, where did you learn to play like that? And here's their response. Oh, I just picked it up. That's what they mean. I didn't go to Juilliard. I didn't have a teacher per se. It was very informal. I watched YouTubes. I listened to people. I was inspired by listening to that album. And I sat there and I just picked it up. Wisdom is picked up naturally. Wisdom is picked up in families. We do this. Oh. Yeah, that's great. Wait a minute. No. What kind of things are people picking up in my family? What are they picking up? What kind of attitude? What kind of demeanor? What's going on in my house? But nevertheless, wisdom is picked up in families. Wisdom is picked up in school. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Wisdom is picked up in school. The teachers that teach them, the kids that they're with, the environment that they're in, all of these things determine much of the wisdom, the prevailing wisdom of the day, what they're going to pick up. Well, that'll make you think twice, won't it? Maybe three times, maybe four times. Wisdom is picked up from the atmosphere of living. And what's in the atmosphere? Radio, television, newspapers, magazines, social media. It's in the atmosphere. And all of it is a form of wisdom just laying there or tooting its own horn and saying, pick me up. Think this way. Look at life this way. Let this be the way that you live your life. I've got great news for you. We can make a decision to move from that, from below to above. Aren't you glad God wants to move us from below to above? How about wisdom is a divine download? I love that. He downloads wisdom. James, the same James, says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it liberally and then never chides you for asking, one translation says. In other words, God doesn't say, here you are asking for wisdom again. Why do you keep beating that drum? Haven't you figured this out yet? He's not going to say that. He's going to say, here you are again. It's wonderful to see you. You need another download, don't you? Yes, Lord, I do. I know. And you know what? I've got a huge gold nugget I want to drop in you right now. And he just drops it into our spirit. And all we can say is then, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You opened my understanding. You made that scripture come alive. Wisdom is a divine download. We're 100% dependent upon God for it. Wisdom downloads in his presence. That's what happens. When you get into a quiet place with the Lord and you pray and seek his face, what happens? Heaven's ways get downloaded into your spirit. You get into the atmosphere of heaven in his presence. And when you get into the atmosphere of heaven in his presence, whether it's praise and worship at church or your own private time, praying in the spirit, opening the word, praying, get into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And when you celebrate his presence, enjoy his presence, relish his presence, and get in his presence, wisdom then downloads into your spirit. And you're going to go along into a situation and you're going to respond differently and know something different, and you're not going to know how you did it. And you didn't pick it up. You got it from heaven. Your heavenly Father dropped it into your spirit. Wisdom downloads from his word. Take this word. It's called a seed for a reason. And take this seed catalog and make yourself a student of it. Read through it, and it's okay. It's wonderful. When you say, you know what, I just read this and I don't understand that. Join the crowd. Come on. Come on with me. Come on with Pastor Steve. There's people you're sitting there going, well, they've been studying the Word all of your life. I've been studying the Bible all of my life. And I still go, what? What? I've sat with the finest theologians the Assemblies of God have to offer and ask the question and had them go, what? I've read books about it and they're all going, I don't know. I don't quite understand that. Hey, we're all in the same crowd. We lack wisdom. We need wisdom. What do? We come to his word and we lay that aside and said, Lord, I don't have to understand it all right now, but I'm going to take this and I'm going to read it and I'm going to download it. I'm going to meditate it. I'm going to become familiar with it. And I'm going to study myself to be I'm going to study to show myself approved, a workman unto God. It needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to go into your word and I'm going to go after you and I'm going to go after you and I'm going to go after you. And every once in a while, all of a sudden, a Holy Ghost highlighter hits my Bible and I look at it and go, that's what it meant. And I'm telling you, I could study this word. God could grant me 1,000 years and every resource, and I could spend hours every day in it, and I would still be going, what? And there will be other days I go, that's what that means. Welcome to the Word of God, and welcome to the matchless grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Wisdom downloads from his people. You know what happens when you get together with other believers? Just like you used to pick up things from the world and the atmospherics there, I have good news for you. You can get downloads from the spiritual realm by being around God's people. You can just be there and walk away. I've had people come back and say, you know, so-and-so prayed for me, or I sat with so-and-so in a meeting, and when I came away, I finally had an answer to that. Well, what'd they say? I don't remember. What? What's happening here? A dynamic of being in the presence of God and being in the presence of God's people. And the ways of the kingdom and the ways of light and the ways of heaven become real. And they download. We have a choice. The wisdom from below or the wisdom from above. So here's the question as we pray. Let's have you stand to your feet. Which wisdom will you pursue? You know what's kind of strange? In this world, if you just hang out, you'll get pickled by this world's wisdom. You'll get raised by it. You'll get influenced by it. It'll change your mentality. It'll change everything about you. All you have to do is live and breathe and have your being. Just walk around and be a human being, and you'll be pickled in the brine of the wisdom of this world. But if you will pursue God, you know what'll happen? you'll be transformed and changed from your likeness into His likeness. The Spirit of the wisdom of God will settle in on you, and He'll say, let me show you my way. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But my ways lead to life everlasting. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come that you might have an existence and a life in me, that you can have a vitality and a spark of life of the wisdom of God. You know, really, it comes down to that simple of a decision. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we go to the Lord, Lord, we come and we're in your presence. Holy Spirit of wisdom, you are here. Spirit of wisdom, you are here in this place, and you're looking for opportunity. You're looking to download. You're looking to move into our life. So we just open our heart to you. We open our life to you. And Lord, we just ask you to come. Spirit of wisdom, we just turn our face towards you. We turn our heart towards you. And we just ask you, in my life, Lord, in my life, Spirit of wisdom, I want to pay attention to you. I want to come into God's presence. I want to come into God's word. I want to be around God's people. And I want to receive a divine download. We've got to offset this atmosphere of this world around us. We've got to offset our way we were raised. We've got to offset our history. We've got to offset our marketing. We've got to offset all of this stuff that's going on in our life. And we're coming to you, Spirit of wisdom. And we're asking you, would you woo us? Would you draw us? Would you call us? Would you move in our hearts? Help us to make the decision from below to above. Help us to move out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in your dear Son. Help us to move and forsake the path of this world, and help us to go with a greater energy and strength to your ways. Because your ways are settled in heaven. Your ways are the way of heaven, and you're calling us to a heavenly kingdom. You're calling us to a heavenly lifestyle. You're calling us to life everlasting. And to this we want to say, yes and amen. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So be it. Lord, let it be with me.